So grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we give thanks, Lord. We give thanks for your saving grace in each and every one of our lives, Father. We give thanks for your mercy. We give thanks for this church, Father God, and that we can gather here every Sunday to worship you, and that we can put you first in our lives, Father, and we have that blessed assurance of your grace in our lives. And Father, we just ask that you bless this time and bless this day. And we thank you, Lord, for the amazing celebration we had yesterday, Father. And I just thank you for every opportunity to serve you and to serve this church. And I ask that you continue to use me, Lord, for eternity. And I thank you, Father, for everyone gathered here today. And I ask that you just bless this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. I want to thank everyone who came out yesterday to the ordination. And it was a blessed celebration that I'm sure, I know I'll never forget, that's for sure. And I am so excited and hopeful for the future of our church. The Lord has just blessed us so much, especially in this past year. The provision of this church, through a pandemic, has been amazing, and it's because of all of us. Amen. And I thank you guys. I love you guys so much. And extreme revival, right? That's what we're living. And thanks be to God for that. Amen. And may the Lord continue to bless this flock as we serve the Good Shepherd. Amen. All right. So my sermon today, title: One Flock, One Shepherd. I got two titles today, actually. But that's going to be my first title, okay? One flock, one shepherd. And, okay, so, I was of a different flock at one time, okay? The flock I ran with cheated, lied, stole, and did some bad things to survive. And the flock I ran with was prideful. The flock I ran with was hateful. The flock I ran with did not know the Good Shepherd. My idols cared nothing for me. My influence came to kill, steal, and destroy. I was lost sheep, and the wolf was having his way with me. Then one day, the Good Shepherd came to me, and he called me by name. The Good Shepherd knew my every thought. He knew every hair on my head. He could count every hair on my head. And this Good Shepherd was patient and long-suffering with me. For those of you who don't know, I was in drug addiction for about 20 years and alcohol addiction for about 25 years. And I stand here today because the Good Shepherd rescued me. Amen. Amen. And I was on the highway to you-know-what. Amen? And so it didn't happen overnight. There was a few pitfalls along the way. But by God's mercy and grace and by the blood of Jesus Christ, I was able to defeat the forces of darkness in my life. And I became a soldier for my Lord and Savior. And that's why Celebrate Recovery means so much to me, is because I know where these people have been. I know where they're at. And I know what they can be and where they can be today. And that's why we bring Jesus to them every week. Amen. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. James 4:7, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And that's what I've been doing. I resist the devil. And I ask God to help me each and every day. 1 John 4:4 says, you dear children are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And that's one of my favorite verses as well, because, you know, with the Holy Spirit within me, you know, I don't have to worry about all the crazy things of this world. I have that blessed assurance that that me and Pastor Rick talk about all the time, and Pastor Perry too, of course. But you know, it's
and Pastor Robin.
All the pastors. But this is my spiritual journey to the cross, and this is my rescue story. Amen?
Amen.
So, my second title, all the forces of darkness cannot stop what God has ordained. And that's, amen? Amen? And that's kind of taken from Isaiah 14:27. I am a faithful believer in Jesus Christ, and my name is Pastor Robert. Pastor Robert. Amen. This is how we introduce ourselves in Celebrate Recovery. We say our name, and we say that we're a faithful believer in Jesus Christ. But I wasn't always in recovery, and I wasn't always a faithful believer in Jesus Christ. They used to say that the pastor's kids and the police officer's kids were the worst ones.
Amen.
Right? Well, I decided I was going to live up to that stigma. And that's what I did. You see, my dad was a Phoenix police officer. And a former airborne ranger. And regarding him as strict was an understatement. And I thank God for that too. I was raised Catholic, as I'm sure some of you were. And I don't remember talking much about Jesus as a child. However, my days of going to church and living under the rules of my father would come to an end in my early days as my mom and dad would separate and my life of sin and addiction would begin. Although an addict and a part-time criminal, I would call myself, I always considered myself the moral compass of the people that I was around, right? I was the good guy, you know. I was convinced that they were all mean and thieves, but I was the good guy in the group, right? I was the good guy. In the midst of all the drug dealing, gang affiliation and all that, I was the good guy. So, not sure if it was the seeds planted earlier in my life or some very close... Oh, let's go through the... I think I missed a couple slides already. Q, go to the next one. Right there? Okay, so... Am I there yet? Let me see. Yeah, perfect. Right there, Q. So, not sure if it was the seeds planted earlier in my life or some very close family members praying for me, but I remember Romans 5:8. Which says God showed His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that is a big verse for us in Celebrate Recovery and for my recovery in my life as well. Because, you know, that just hit me so hard when I finally had that relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, I looked at this verse and I said, wow, you know, through all the things I've been through, you know, Jesus Christ died for me before I was even born, but through all everything I did, and for everyone on the planet, you know, for everyone. And that's forever. And it was just amazing. This verse just means so much. And my family's prayers would eventually, in God's time, be answered. And I know my mom prayed for me every night, every day. I can never thank her enough or repay her enough for the things she did for me and what I put her through. But I'm trying. And who sent me those pictures of me and my mom? It's Cindy. Those pictures, thank you so much. It was just amazing. There's a picture of me and my mom both crying during communion at the altar yesterday. And she wasn't the only one that I cried with yesterday, but I get it from my mom, okay? She's the one crying all the time. So. I didn't get it from my dad, I know that. I get it from my mom. By the age of 31, still in my addictions, I was living at my mom's house, and we were living in right across the street from Maryvale Hospital in a little cottage. We used to have to enter through the alley. So technically, I guess I lived in an alley. But around this time, I started dating a girl named Bridget that some of you know, Shannon's daughter. And I had come to Amazing Grace here with her a few times. And but we were deep in our addictions, and I don't know if everybody knew it or not, but you know, we were out there. We were still out there on the streets. And eventually Bridget, and I got permission to say this, okay, just in case anybody. Eventually Bridget would go back to prison. She was on parole and she would go back to prison. And before she left, she asked me if I would continue taking her kids to church here and while she was in prison. And next slide. Amazing Grace. Okay. Wow. So she asked me if I would continue taking her kids to church, and that was the beginning of me coming to Amazing Grace, you know, at least on some type of regular basis, and that's how I began coming to church here. And so, you know, all orchestrated by the Lord and by my Lord and Savior. Amen. So He used me even while I was still a sinner, still out there using. He was already working on me, and putting the right people and situations in my life, in my path. So this was the beginning of my Christian walk, and this was the beginning of my Christian walk within this church, and the power of the Holy Spirit would change my life, and God's patience and long suffering would eventually lead me to repentance in Jesus Christ, and victory in Jesus Christ. Amen. And that was all while I was still sinning, right? The Lord was working on me already. So Acts 3:19 says, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and the times of refreshing may come from the Lord." And in the summer of 2003, you could find me on any given day in the parking lot of Home Depot, trying to find work as a day laborer, believe it or not. And over on 43rd and Camelback, yeah. I couldn't hold a job anymore. I had burnt so many bridges. Yeah. And the Mexicans didn't like me, by the way. What are you doing here? This is our turf, right? But we got along. This one liked me, yeah. Amen. And I say that like I'm not a Mexican, right? They didn't think so. So, but yeah. So, you know, that didn't last too long. Eventually, I would land a job at Canyon State Oil. Oh, there's me on the truck. One of our trucks. That's our new name, West Direct Oil. But that's where I work. Well, I'll get to that. But so eventually I got a job at Canyon State Oil through a temp service. And I was just trying to get my driver's license back because I was an auto mechanic for about 10 years. And I had lost my license. I had lost everything, including my license. And so I was trying to get my license back. I just wanted a job so I could save some money and pay for my tickets. And so they talked me into testing to get my CDL license while I was there. And for about 6 months, I would study on my lunch breaks, study at home. Bridget helped me a lot with test questions, and it was quite the journey. I was the first one at that company to ever get my license on my own, and then use their truck to go test. So it was, and they paid for everything. So it was just amazing how God orchestrated that as well. And so I became a driver. I became a truck driver that same year. And In my testimony, I talk about how God, you know, gives you choices in life to make. And at that point in my life, I had a choice because, as I don't know if you all know, but when you get a CDL license, the company, if you're working for a company, they have to register with the state, and because of that, they're mandated to do random drug testing. So if you have a commercial driver's license, you get random drug testing. You never know when it's coming. And so I had a choice to make in my life, and because the Lord knew I needed a little push to get, you know, to get into recovery, right? And this isn't the last time He pushed me, but this was definitely a push. And so I had a choice to make, and I didn't make the right choice at first. I decided to keep on being a weekend warrior, and eventually I would get caught on a random drug test. And actually, I broke my hand that night, and the next month, I broke my hand that weekend in a bar fight, and the next weekend, or the next Monday coming into work, they drug tested me. So I had a really good week that week. And so they call me in the office the next day. You know, I'm ready to get fired. And of course, I prayed all night. And they call me in the office the next day, and I'm there with the president and my manager, director of operations, all the big guys in the company. And I'm like, what are they going to do? I didn't know if they were going to hang me or what, man. You know, I'm like, really? What? So they call me in there and they tell me, you know, we've never done this before. And I don't even think they believed what they were saying. But they said, we've never done this before, but we got this new program in place. And if you're willing to do all these list of things that they had for me, which was drug classes, a pay cut, random drug testing, but like more often, like for a couple of years, I had to do randoms every month. And so if I did all these things, they told me that nobody would ever know what happened except for the people sitting in that room. And I did it. And they let me keep my job, you know. And I'm a driver, right? So they demoted me to warehouse for this 3-month trial period that I was attending these drug classes. And when I left that office and I went home, I didn't work that day. I just cried and thanked God. So I mean, talk about prayers answered, and that was the beginning of the miracles that God would start doing in my life, because I was searching for Him, because I was asking Him. I was beginning that relationship with Him. And so I'll keep my job. And you know, just a little quick history of my job at West Direct Oil today. We've gone through 4 names. I've been there almost, this is my 17th year. I'm still there today. I went from warehouse to driver to dispatcher to plant supervisor, and that's what I am today. And amen. Thank you, Jesus. And none of those people that were in that room, by the way, are with the company anymore. I've had 9 managers since I started working there. And I've probably had about 100 people work for me. And I've fired about a quarter of them, but, you know, that's another story. But so I would continue to attend Amazing Grace, and in 2008 I would take another step of faith, and I would agree to attend a Christian Lutheran retreat movement called Curcio that we used to be heavily involved in here in the church. And this weekend, which came at a sad, low time in my life, my brother had just passed away the October before I went into this retreat. And this weekend would really touch my heart. And And I believe this is when I was truly saved, when I attended that Curcio weekend. And it was just amazing. And it's a really great time in my life. And around this time, I would start a Christian band, rock band. So I've been playing drums since I was in high school, and you know, I was always heavy metal. You know, I was long-haired. I had hair down here, you know, all that stuff. I wish I had some good pictures. I would have put one up, but I couldn't find one. So, but yeah, I would start. We started a Christian band with my friend Paul Scott, who used to come to church here, and we would play. We would play with Church on the Street. I don't know if anybody knows Church on the Street or Dream City over on Grand Avenue. We teamed up with them, and every second and fourth Saturday of the month, we would go out to a field, a dirt field on 15th Street in Washington, and we would hold a church service, and we would feed the homeless. And we would play music, and then everybody would it was just amazing. And we would do that and we'd always have these guest preachers come out and speak, and we would give out clothes, and we would pray for these people. And, you know, it was, these people were so, they needed that, you know, and it was such an honor and a blessing to be able to serve alongside with Church on the Street for that period of time. We did that for, at least 2 years, maybe 2.5 years we did that. Eventually, the band would kind of break a little bit because of health issues and stuff, but, you know, that was such a blessing, and it was a big part of my faith walk as well. So, about that time, I would start attend and celebrate recovery at Amazing Grace, and which was led by our very own Cecilia and Sandy back there. Hi, girls. I told them I was going to talk about them today. Yeah, so they led Celebrate Recovery here at Amazing Grace. And that, you know, my attendance was pretty spotty, and they could tell you that. I wasn't always here. But I was continuing to grow in my faith, and I was continuing to grow in my recovery. And unfortunately, this group would eventually have to end, but the seeds of faith in my recovery were planted. And the next slide. And in 2009, that's my wedding picture, one of them, I would start dating my next door neighbor, Sarah Hernandez. Sarah Hernandez. And she was the... She's a Mexican. I was gonna say that, Pastor, but I'll let him say it for me. Right. Right, she's one of the ones that liked me. But she was the second greatest gift that God ever gave me. Amen. With Jesus Christ being the first. Amen. Of course. Proverbs 18:22 says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Amen. And favor it was. Me and Sarah would get engaged the same year we met. And we would start attending Amazing Grace together. I had already been in recovery from drugs for a few years, or she would have never met me, and before meeting her. And but I was definitely an active alcoholic. And Sarah would put up with my drinking and my stinking thinking for almost 6 years. And in February of 2015... a day after the Super Bowl, I would quit drinking and begin to dedicate my life, my entire life to Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And within a year, I would be asked by the church if I would bring back and lead Celebrate Recovery. And that's how we started Celebrate Recovery here. Well, the new era of our Celebrate Recovery. That I like that's the picture that I have on my business card for Celebrate Recovery. And that's me on the top of a mountain in Alaska, holding. This is our sign that we use for Celebrate Recovery. We're praising God and thanking Him for our recovery. And so I use that picture for my business cards. And it was like a 2 mile hike up to that cross too, but we were going to get there, man. We got there, and it was amazing. It was an amazing time. So this would be the beginning of a ministry that would shape my life, and God would use me to bring others the saving grace that He had shown me. Amen. And just an amazing ministry, and we're so happy to be a part of it. Psalms 22:22 says, "I will praise you to all my brothers. I will stand up before the congregation and testify to the wonderful things you have done." And that's what we do every week. And that's what I plan on doing right here for this church every week as well. Amen. About 2 years into leading this ministry with the help of my wife and Cecilia and my mother, the pastors would attend our meetings from time to time. They would come to our meetings and they'd see me speaking God's Word through my lessons. You know, and so basically, you know, I guess in a way I was preaching. And they sensed a calling that God had ordained a long time ago. So they prayed about it. The pastors prayed about it. And one day, they asked me and my wife to go to dinner to discuss a proposal that they had for us. And we're like, okay, where are we going? Where are we going? Texas Roadhouse. All right, sign me up. No, we didn't go say no. No, it was Longhorn Steakhouse. Longhorn Steakhouse. That's right. Texas Roadhouse was ours. Okay. I like Longhorn better anyway, so... Amen. So we had dinner, and they asked me if I would ever consider becoming a pastor. And I thought I was dreaming. My life of sin sort of flashed before my eyes, you know, right after they asked me that. And I began to feel convicted, but yet redeemed at the same time. And I would tell my pastors that I would pray about it and discuss it with my wife, of course. And, you know, there was a few things we had to consider, you know. I would have to complete an online seminary degree, you know, not knowing how long that was going to take, while working a full-time plus job and leading Celebrate Recovery and playing in the band. You know, and so me and my wife prayed about it, and we prayed about it, and two weeks later, we had our answer. And we decided that I would commit my life to the ministry. And amen. And answer the call of the Lord. Answer the call of the Lord. And Pastor Rick and Robin saw something in me even before I did, and I thank God for putting them in my life. And thank you. I love you guys. Matthew 15:21 says, "His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things.'" And that's what I've done. I've tried in my faith walk. I've tried not. When asked to do something, and knowing that it's something for the Lord and for the church and for the body of Christ, I never say no. I make time. I always make time for the Lord. And over these last 4 years, I'm talking to you mostly, Pastor Rick, because I've been so pressed for time in my life, and I've tried to give my best in everything I do. And if I seemed out of touch or seemed like I wasn't giving it my all, I was. It was a lot of work. And I'm very excited. Well, I'll talk about it here in a minute, but I'm so excited to be able to devote my full time and attention to the church. And so me and Sarah have now been leading Sober Recovery in our church for almost 6 years. We're in our seventh season. And we have seen, amen, hallelujah, right? And I'm really close with all the state reps and leaders for Celebrate Recovery. We're a little of a, we don't follow everything they do to the T, but, you know, we're Amazing Grace, right? So, you know what I mean? But Jesus Christ is at the top of our list, of course. And we've seen many come to Christ through our ministry. And it is a labor of love. It really is a labor of love. We are always here. We miss maybe 1 week a year, 1 or 2 weeks a year. And we try to be here for the holidays as well, because holidays are a tough time for people in recovery. And that's why we had our New Year's celebration, and we try to do Christmas Eve, different holidays. Whenever we can do it on a holiday, we try to do it so we can be here, so people will have a place to go when they're contemplating. You know, what am I going to do? Am I going to go to the bar? Am I going to go to a party? Do I need a meeting tonight? We like giving people the opportunity, just like we do here at Amazing Grace. That's why we've been open through this pandemic, is because we want people to have a choice. We want people to have a choice to come to church, to come to worship. You know, and if certain people don't want to be here or can't be here, that's fine, you know. But we need to be here. We need to be available. As Jesus Christ is always available, we need to be available just the same. So, I've also been serving as a youth group leader for almost 3 years now. I took over when Miss Kathy got sick, and we miss her very much. And this ministry has been a blessing to me. This youth group ministry has been a blessing to me. And the kids are great, you know. I love the relationships that we've built through this group and continue to build through this group, both with the kids and with the parents. You know, Pastor Rick told me early on when I started doing the youth group, he said, this is important. This is important for you to build relationships with the younger generation of our church for the future. And, you know, I didn't quite see it like that at first, but over time I've seen it, and it's so true. You know, not just with the kids, but with their parents. And, you know, it's really helped to nurture the relationship between me and a lot of people in the church because of this youth group. And it's amazing how God works, right? But I hope this ministry continues to grow in the church. You got another picture there, Q? So this was us when we went to Diamondbacks Faith and Family Night. And, you know, we've done some outings like that. I hope to do more. But... But yeah, you know, it's been a great journey with the youth group, and I pray that we continue to grow in that. And and we even went to a concert, huh, Stevie? Stevie's, I gotta tell you this little story real quick. So we go to this concert, and Stevie's a nut, man. He really is. So. So they got these rappers on stage, right? And there's this guy that goes to all the Christian concerts, and he's like a cholo guy, and he's always wearing these bandanas and like weird clothes, right? But he dances and sings. I don't know if you guys have ever seen him, but so I told Stevie, I said, hey man, go up there, go. And he wanted to go dance with the guy, right? So Stevie goes up there to dance with the guy, and he ends up on the stage with the band. And I'm like, we're looking at him like, is that Stevie? You know, we're at GCU and there's like 20,000 people there. And Stevie said, "Oh my man, he's going to get arrested. He's going to get kicked out of there." And it was just amazing. He got to meet. Yeah, and he's been doing it ever since. So yeah, Stevie's met more Christian rappers, man. Oh yeah, and they let him go. So when was the last time you did that? Because you're getting—I don't know—you're about 6'2" now. They might not let you on stage anymore. You might scare them. But we've had some good times, though. Amen. And yeah, we got to go sing the national anthem with the Diamondbacks on the field. That was amazing too. That was that day. And For King and Country was there. We got to see them sing on the field, center field, or not. Yeah, that was a great night, Pastor. That was a great night. And but the relationships, you know, that's what it's all about. I continue to play drums for my Christian rock band, Jam for the Lamb, by the way, is our name. Jam for the Lamb, yeah. Like that? Amazing, right? My friend, my buddy Dave Courtney, my guitarist, he came up with the name, and he's even got it on his license plate, Jam for the Lamb. Yeah. So, you know, I don't plan on quitting that anytime soon, but come see us play. I'll announce when we play every third Friday at North Phoenix Baptist Church. drawing a blank. Yeah, the one by the stadium. Anyways, I'll announce it. But come see us play. It's a really Dave had my guitarist just recently had a heart attack, and he's amazing. This guy's amazing. Within a week, he was playing again, wanting to go to practice, you know, and so he had his final stint put in Friday, and that's why he couldn't be here yesterday. But so he sends me a video. He had a stint put in Friday. He sends me a video yesterday afternoon because I'm getting ready to sing a song called "Baptized" by Zach Williams, and he wanted to show me that he learned the guitar riffs on it. And so the guy's already playing a day after he had a stent put in, and he's sending me a video, right? And that guy's amazing. But yeah, good therapy, right? Amen. But yeah, Jam for the Lamb. And okay, so fast forward there. So I started Beyond the River Academy, my seminary, in early 2016. So for those of you who don't know, I've been doing online seminary classes. I graduated in October of last year. Amen? And I received my certificate of pastoral ministry, which is right here in case nobody's seen it. Yeah. Right? Amen? All right? Ricky had that made for me. Amen. Thank you, Mr. President. And it was a long road with very few days off. And during those 4.5 years, but, you know, once again, it's a labor of love. It's all been a labor of love. It's what I want to do. It's what I'm doing. And it's for the Lord, and that's the most important thing. Amen. My love for Jesus Christ and for all of you guys, my forever family, like we like to call you. I want to thank you all for the support, for your support, and I hope you've enjoyed my no fluff sermon so far.
Amen.
just before the China virus hit the U.S., I had signed up for jail ministry, and I was getting ready to go to training. But you know, they put it on hold. They put the jail ministry on hold, and it's still on hold right now. So we're hoping that sometime this summer they'll open it back up for us, and I can start doing jail ministry as well. And because Pastor says I got plenty of time to do a lot more stuff. So my wife's been a big part of all my ministry work, and she is now the official secretary of the church. How convenient for me, right? Amen? How convenient for me, right? And I know she dreams about working as hard as Pastor Robin. Someday. Just kidding. But she is definitely a blessing to me and to the church. And thank you, babe, for everything. I will retire from my current job at West Direct Oil and become a full-time intern pastor here on March 1st. I'm sorry, associate pastor. So I'm putting my 2 weeks in on Friday. And, you know, I never thought growing up that I'd be a pastor for Christ. But as my life verse says, Matthew 6:33, that if I put God first in everything I do, you know, all these things will be added unto me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And that's, you know, that's my spiritual journey. The Lord just keeps adding things onto, I don't want to say onto my plate, but adding things to my testimony. And my adventure, ever-changing adventure, and that is so true. And He just continues to use me and restore my life, and it's just an amazing journey. Go up one more. Joel 2:25 says, "So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten, and restore he has by the renewing of my mind, Romans 12, and by instilling in me the fruits of the Spirit that were missing for so many years." You know, another verse, Jeremiah 29:11. Yeah. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, and plans to give you a hope and a future." And that's for each and every one of us. Amen. In Celebrate Recovery, we talk about turning a dope dealer into a hope dealer. And this hope dealer is here to serve you and to serve Christ in everything I do. I know this journey is going to be fun, exciting, and crazy at times, but as we said shortly before the coronavirus reared its ugly head, we are in the midst of an extreme revival. Amen? In this time of unrest and hatred, we have a Savior who's in control, who's always in control. And no matter who's the president, He is the King. Amen? And we have that blessed assurance of salvation that brings us all peace in the midst of chaos. Amen. As your pastor, I will truly live out Colossians 3:23-24, which says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if you're working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." And I've been telling myself that at work for the last 3 years. Because it's hard when you know you're leaving and you can't tell anybody. You know? But that's you know, God working again. You know, I'm reminding myself for 3 years that in everything I do, I must work as if I'm working for the Lord. And to literally be doing it is the greatest blessing that I could have ever thought of in my life. And I want to thank each and every one of you. for loving me, because I love you as well. And God bless you all. And let us pray. Father God, I just give thanks for this church, Father. For the amazing journey that brought me here. For all the amazing people that you've put in my life. For all the miracles you do in this church, Father God, we give thanks. We give thanks for every opportunity to serve you through all the ministry work that goes through this little church, Father God. And for all the support we get from our sister churches. All the support we get from the community and from our fellow sister churches, Lord. It's just an amazing journey, Father God. And I pray that you continue to use me in each and every way. Father, I dedicate my life to you. I ask that you continue to bless us and our families, Father God, that you keep us safe from anything that the devil tries to put in our path, Lord. Love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.